This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Yourself. You can't say, "Any, I fear for myself." data, first there should be a vision. And I wish to share with you the vision that the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, peace be upon him, gave. The vision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. We must know our vision. Yani our goal, the brother already said, Brother Zishan already said, the goal is to enter Jannah. That is our ultimate objective. But what is our vision? The vision was given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before we go to that vision, let me share with you an example from the life of the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, peace be upon him, where he gave some vision to his companions. This was at the time, and I only what I'm going to do today is I'll try to give you some examples from the lives of the companions. Because you see, we can discuss theoretically to do this and do that, but let's see practically how the Sahabas demonstrated their dawah abilities. This was at the time of Khandaq. How many of you are aware about the incidents of Khandaq, the Battle of Trench which took place, Khandaq incident? Now Khandaq was a very difficult time for the Muslims. As we all know the history, the Muslims were attacked from every corner. The Jews attacked the Muslims. The Quraysh attacked the Muslims. Everyone had surrounded the Muslims. And the only way possible for the Muslim was to build a trench. And who gave this suggestion? Salman, mashallah, very good. In some other cities, there is no response, mashallah. So people are well versed, mashallah, with the seerah, alhamdulillah. Salman al-Farisi gave the suggestion because he came from the Persian lands where they were expert in all this. Salman al-Farisi gave the idea, let's build a trench. And while they were building a trench, they came across a huge rock which they could not break down. So they go up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and imagine this is at a time where they have not eaten food for many days. We people are fasting. Brother Zishan said that I know you all are fasting, that's why you cannot say salams properly. Imagine that was a time where the Sahabas had not eaten for days. They come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, Ya Rasulullah, and they lift their garment and they had a stone tied to their stomach. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifted his garment, and how many stones did he have tied to his stomach? Two stones tied to his stomach. In this situation, the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad peace be upon him, goes on to give a vision to the companions. The Sahabas come and say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we cannot break down this rock, come and help us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, where is the axe, give it to me. And he takes it in his hand and he says, take me to the rock. And when he comes to the rock, he strikes it the first time and there's a huge spark. And he says, Allahu Akbar. And one third of the rock breaks. Then he again takes the axe in his hand and strikes it the second time. And again there's a huge spark. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allahu Akbar. And then he again does it the third time before the rock comes into pieces. Again there's a huge spark. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allahu Akbar. The companions are standing next to him and says, Ya Rasulullah, we see you do something which we have never seen you do before. You struck a rock, there was a huge spark, and you said Allahu Akbar three times. The Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him, said, and hear the vision that the Prophet, peace be upon him, gives to the Sahaba. He says, when I struck the rock the first time, Allah showed me that the day will come that the Muslims shall rule the palaces of the Byzantines. So I said, Allahu Akbar. When I struck it the second time, Allah showed that the day will come the Muslims shall rule the palaces of the Yemen. So I said, Allahu Akbar. And when I struck it the third time, Allah showed that a day will come that the Muslims shall rule the superpower of the day, the Midians, the palaces of the Midians. I said, Allahu Akbar. In this state where they haven't eaten food for so many days, they are surrounded by enemies, literally no way out. In this situation, the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him, is giving a vision of ruling the superpower of the day, the Midians, the Yemens, the Persians, the Byzantine Romans, the vision that the Prophet peace be upon him gave. Now what was the impact of this vision? Khandaq took place somewhere around the 5th and the 6th Hijri, if I am not mistaken. In another 10 years, another 10 to 15 years, all these three visions that the Prophet of Islam upon him gave were fulfilled. And the last of them was fulfilled during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. The last of the visions were fulfilled during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Now what is the message that we get from this? The message that we get is, when the vision is given, what did the companions do? Did the companions just sit down? They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has already given you the vision. What do we need to do? Let's sit down. We don't need to do anything. Allah has given us the vision. We will rule the palaces. Let's sit down. No. When the vision was given, it meant that actions were done in order to fulfill the vision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given. And within a span of 10 to 15 years, the Muslim became the superpower of the day during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Now what's the vision that Allah gives us? If we understand the objective behind a vision is that we need to become action oriented. Remember Ali radiallahu anhu says during his first khutbah as a Amir, what did he say? He says, O people, you are in need of a Rajlul Fa'al La Qawwal. O people, you are in need of a man of actions and not a man who just speaks. So if that is the vision that we must become people of action, what is the vision that Allah has given to us in the Quran? Please tell me, brothers and sisters, if there are any. What is the vision that Allah has given us in the Quran to the Muslims? What is the vision? Can anyone tell me? Anybody? Come on, we must be knowing the vision. Are you telling me that all of you sitting here don't know what the vision is? Yes, brother. No, the one who raised your hand. Yes, brother. To worship Allah. No. Give me the verse of the Quran where Allah gives the vision. We must all know the vision. How many of you are working here with companies? Corporate companies. Don't your companies have a vision? Yeah? Every company has got a vision. You all know the vision of your companies. Now I am telling you, Allah has given you a vision. None of you know it. Not the one which you said, brother. Anyone else? Yes, brother. No, no. Yes, who said that? MashaAllah, MashaAllah. The vision Allah Ta'ala has repeated 3 times in the Quran. Not once. Not once. Allah has repeated 3 times in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah Tawbah, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولُهُ بِالْهُدَىٰ وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ لِيُظِهِرَهُ عَلَىٰ دِينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. That it is Allah who has sent down the messenger with guidance and with the religion of truth so that it may manifest over all the other religions. How much may the disbelievers not like it? Allah gave a vision. The vision is, Islam is set to supersede all other ways of life. That's a vision Allah gives in the Quran. And He repeats this in Surah Fatah. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولُهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينُ الْحَقِّ لِيُظِهِرَهُ عَلَى دِينِ كُلِّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. Repeating the entire formula again, that it is Allah who has sent down the messenger with guidance and sent him with the religion of truth so that it may prevail over all the other religion. And Allah testifies to this fact that He shall let His religion prevail over all the other religion. Who testifies? The creator of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave us this vision in the Quran. How many of you really knew that this was a vision? How many of you knew it? This is a vision. Islam will prevail over all other religion. And we all know it. In our hearts, we all know it. But how many of us are now doing some actions to implement this? In order for Islam to spread, you need to spread the message of Islam to every land. People must get the message of Islam. What have we done? We have all been sitting quietly. Now, I have been hearing about the Dawah work in Bangalore. And mashallah, I've been quite impressed. The brothers have been saying that the people have quite actively been involved in the activities of Dawah. But my question is our work good enough? When you hear in the world today hijab is being banned. Certain aspects of Sharia is being banned. Somewhere or the other, you and me must ask ourselves, did we slow down our process of dawah in that country? You see, when you slow down your dawah, automatically the problem will start. Allah says that in the Quran, that if you hide the knowledge that Allah has given you, then destruction will come upon us. And are we not living a life of curse today? Today, we are not ruled. You know, one of our brothers, we were having a big discussion today about a rule of Khilafah. Now, is this not a curse today that we don't have a system where we are ruled by the Muslims? Rather, we are ruled by those who are bringing in laws which are stopping the Muslims from practicing Islam. Why? Because you and me have failed in our duties. You and me have failed in our responsibilities. We have failed in our approach of doing dawah. Dawah is fard. It is compulsory today, in today's time. Back in the early days, when Islam was spreading, a group could take up the responsibility. But for people like us who are staying in these lands, the lands of the kuffars, it is upon us to spread the message of Islam to the people. You know, I was having a discussion with a gentleman. I didn't have a discussion. I got to know about a person who had come down to my city, Kolkata. His name is Balbir Singh. How many of you heard of Balbir Singh? Okay, a couple of you heard about Balbir Singh. Balbir Singh was the first person to strike the Babri Masjid. The first person to strike the stones of Babri Masjid was Balbir Singh. The first person. How do you feel about it? How do you feel? Balbir Singh now is a Muslim and he prays 5 times a day. And when he was interviewed, he said, no one even shared the message of Islam with us. We were given a different picture of Islam altogether. The true picture of Islam was hidden from us. We people are extremely emotional. We get swayed away by emotions. It is time we take control of our emotions. There is no chance for us to lose control of our emotion in today's time. You lose control of your emotion, there's a problem for the ummah. We must take control of our emotion and focus on one most important aspect, which is spread the message of Islam. Share the message of the Quran. The Quran is not only the religious book of the Muslims. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind. Have you delivered the message to the mankind? Does the people know what Allah Ta'ala wants them to do? Have you delivered the message? If you have not delivered the message, then prepare yourself for a destruction. Allah says in the Quran, فَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ أَمْسَالُكُمْ. That if you turn away from the responsibilities and duties that Allah has given you, then Allah will replace you, will bring forth a new group of people. Allah will replace you. Allah doesn't need us. Allah doesn't need us. Allah has already testified in the Quran that Allah is giving a witness that He will make His religion prevail. He is giving a witness. Can there be a bigger witness than Allah? I'm asking you, my brothers. If Allah is giving a gawahi, a witness, can you get a more stronger witness than Allah? Yes or no? Then what stops us from doing dawah? What fear do we have in our heart? What is the fear in our heart? What stops us from talking to a people about Islam? What stops us from going to the house of a person and telling them, oh my dear brother, worship Allah? What has stopped us? How many of you, and this is a rhetoric, you don't have to answer me, how many of us have never even spoken to a non-Muslim in our life? Ask yourself. There may be many of you who are sitting here who've never ever spoken. You've got a best friend who's a non-Muslim, but you've never invited him to Islam. And on the day of judgment, when your non-Muslim friend will be dragged to hellfire, and when he will say that Haider was my friend, but he never introduced Islam to me, or Mohsin was my friend, and he never introduced Islam to me, what do you expect Allah to deal with you with? How will Allah deal with you? Allah has given us a command and an obligation to spread the message of Islam. And to spread the message of Islam, everything is given to you in the Quran, by the way. Do you know that? How to give the message is also given in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nahl, He says, invite all to the way of thy Lord with hikmah. Well, wisdom is very bad translation of the word hikmah. Hikmah is much more richer. Hikmah means, or let's explain wisdom if you want. Wisdom means what? Wisdom means that when you catch a person who is going to a disco and you stand in front over there, he's with his girlfriend. You know, you can't go as a stag. That's what they say, right? Stag is not allowed in the disco. You can't go alone. So he's going with his girlfriend to the disco. You stand over there. Sorry. Put it up again, okay? Brother, what's your goal? The man at 11:30, 12 night. Brother, what's your goal? What's your goal? He say, my goal is Darde Disco. That is his goal at that point. So wisdom means when you are in a different situation, you adopt a different approach. The street dawah approach is perhaps one of the most effective approach. But that's not the only approach. Some people can have an approach of akhlaq. Some people can have an approach of giving gifts. Some people can have an approach of coming up on the stage and talking. You see, many of us have a misconception that a da'i means a person who has to come on the stage and talk. That is absolutely wrong. The most effective da'is are those who are out on the streets. That's the most effective da'i. People who come on the stage and talk is because they do not like to speak with people on the ground. That is a reality. And many of those who are on the street da'wah are not comfortable coming to this side. So it means that Allah Ta'ala has given each of us separate qualities. Use your quality to do da'wah using wisdom. When you see da'wah happening in the street level. Now I'm going to come to the street da'wah. I'm giving you some practical things. In a street da'wah process, what happens is, and I've seen this in Kolkata, I don't know about your city here, you will find that one brother either is talking to a non-Muslim doing Islam, about Islam, and suddenly Mohsin will come in and Zain will come in and all the other brothers will surround him. Immediately the non-Muslim will say, brother, are you ready to read the kalma? Yes, brother. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna This is called group psychosis, generally group fear. He sees suddenly all the big brothers, mashallah, with lovely growing beard. They have come, and on the television, he's always seen the wrong people with such beard. So suddenly he sees people with such beard coming and talking about Islam and surrounding him. Don't do that. People of, you know, especially you street dawah people, never do this. When one person talks to another person, no third person should come and give his 2 pennies. Keep your 2 pennies to yourself. Be rich. We don't want charity here. Let one man do the job. If he doesn't know how to do the job, he'll say, brother, I don't have an answer to your question. Let me ask Zain. Zain can help you out with the questions on Akhirah. This is an approach. 45 minutes is not time for me to get into a detail of how to approach. I'm just giving you some of the things which you must keep in mind. Second thing which you must keep in mind is, when you get questions on why you Muslims put beard, why your women take hijab, or why do Muslims slaughter in such a painful manner, what are you supposed to do? Answer the questions. Answer the questions. Look, you see what our brothers will do. Our brothers will spend 10 to 15 minutes to answer a question. You know, biologically, brother, if we cut this nerve and this nerve and this nerve and this vein and this vein, the brain, animal dies painless death. Yani, some of us memorize the speeches of Dr. Zakir Naik and we just come and vomit it. And 10 minutes we go on talking about it. And after 10 minutes the brother says, so, I still believe it is painful. Your 10 minutes are wasted. When you meet brothers who ask you questions about hijab, beard, terrorism, this, that, remember, our dawah is dawah ilallah. Dawah calling the people to the way of Allah. Whenever somebody asks you, why do you sacrifice in this manner? Brother, we do it because biologically it has been proven. Time will not permit that I explain you all of this. But one of the main reasons why we do it, it's a command of Allah. It's a command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khalas, the moment you've said Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, brother, do you know who Allah is? Do you know who Rasulullah is? How we believe about them? Now you are doing active dawah. Many people think that answering misconception is dawah. It is a form of dawah, but it is not active dawah. Active dawah is where you link the misconceptions to who is Allah, who is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because you see, the problem is if he knows, if he believes in Allah, then all the misconception is taken care of, right or wrong. If he believes in Allah, everything else is taken care of. You are spending 1 hour trying to give him misconception clarification, speeches, debates, you know, what is happening in Iraq, what's happening in Syria, what's happening here, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, so many organizations. You're going on debating. No, brother, we don't believe in this organization. Don't waste your time. Focus on Dawah ilallah. Forget politics. Don't waste your time on Khilafah. Focus on inviting people to the way of Allah. The discussions of Khilafah and all is important, and we must all prepare ourselves for that. But let those who are in authority take care of it. I don't know if any of you are in authority. Zain maybe is the Amir of his organization, but I don't think he is involved in it. Focus on your vision. Your vision is you have to invite people to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just give me 2 minutes. Let me get my screen back. Umar radiallahu anhu was the 40th man to embrace Islam. Do you know that? Umar radiallahu anhu was the 40th man to embrace Islam. And this was in which year? It was in the 6th year. The 6th year of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prophethood. Did Umar radiallahu anhu embrace Islam? That means in 6 years only 40 people had embraced Islam. Who was the da'i? Who was the da'i? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are you all better than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as da'is? Anyone better as da'is? The best of the da'i in 6 years, only 40 embraced Islam. Was his focus on number or was his focus on spreading the message? His focus was on spreading the message. Guidance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, we brothers count shahadas. Let's count shahadas. You see, I may disagree with some people. There might be some people who might say, how many shahadas? But I disagree with this approach. Oh brother, you know, in our sweet dawah, in the last 1 year, we have had 42 shahadas. Alhamdulillah. That doesn't prove anything. What about someone who spends 950 years and he is a failure as a da'i? What about him? He's a Nabi. Nuh alayhi salam, the Prophet of Allah. 950 years he did da'wah. Eventually he told Allah, you take your people back. They are useless. They will not listen. They will not hearken to your message. 950 years. So please keep this thing in mind that your focus is not to convert people. That's not your focus. Your focus is to spread the message of Islam. Spread the message of Haq. Invite people to Islam. How do you invite? Can someone tell me how do you invite? Tell me. How? Give me an example. In one sentence. You invite people to Islam by saying, brother, why don't you embrace Islam? That's how you invite. Right? How do you invite? Half an hour. 1 hour, 2 hours talking to people about the good things of Islam. But the most important golden question which no one asks is, brother, what stops you from embracing Islam? You see, you might say, brother, I have just started dawah to him. Today I have met him. Inshallah, I'll be meeting him after 2 weeks. He's a stranger. And you are so sure you'll meet him after 2 weeks. Have you seen 2 weeks? Do you know what will happen after 2 weeks? Kamal al-Makki, jokingly amongst his group is called the black belt in dawah. But that said jokingly, okay, we don't give such names to anybody. We don't give such qualities to anybody. I want to clarify that for the records. Kamal al-Makki, brother, you need to tell me when 10 minutes are left, okay? So I'll wrap up inshallah. Because the problem with people like us, brother Zaid will agree, is two places if we come and sit, we don't move. One is the table where we talk and the second is the table where we eat. Very difficult to make us move from there, subhanallah. So, Kamal al-Makki says that he met an African, an Ethiopian, he was a Christian. And he did dawah to him. And after doing dawah, the brother said that, Kamal al-Makki said, why don't you embrace? Kamal al-Makki said, I forgot to invite him to Islam. So after 1 year, the man said, I want to read the Quran and come back to you after 1 year. When you come here next year, I'll talk to you. So Kamal al-Makki goes to that place after 1 year. He's in touch with him. He meets up with the person. He says, I have read the Quran and I have some queries, but that's okay. I can delay it. Right now I want to study Sahih al-Bukhari and then decide whether I should embrace Islam or not. Now, the best of the Muslims have also not read the entire Sahih Bukhari. I mean, amongst the guys, I'm saying, they haven't read Sahih Bukhari. The trick is, you need to ask them this question. Many people are waiting that somebody will hold my hand and call me. You need to hold that hand and call the person. What will happen at the most? He will reject. What did Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu do in the battlefield? The hero for many of the Muslims. You look into his life. In the battlefield, the man comes from the Christian army and he's about to hit Khalid bin Walid. Khalid bin Walid is ready for his defense, but he says, before I strike you, I want you to accept Islam. If you accept Islam, I don't have any problem with you. My problem is nothing with you, nothing personal with you. The first thing was, invite people to Islam. What has been stopping us from doing that? So please keep this in mind, my dear brothers, especially from the street dawah, those who are actively involved, and those who have friends. Invite. Ask them. Just go and ask them. Don't do anything. Just ask them. Brother, sister, why is it that you will not want to embrace Islam? Come and accept Islam. This is from Allah. And now you will see, it will immediately remove your fear of talking to that person. All the while the fear was, how will I invite? The moment you start off your statement with inviting the person to Islam, automatically this fear is broken. So this is an advice, a suggestion, the golden question. This is called the golden question in Dawah. If any of you have done Dawah under Dr. Bilal Phillips, you will learn this golden question. The golden question has to be asked before you leave a person in street Dawah. You meet a person for 2 minutes. He doesn't have time. You're giving him books. When you give him the books, leave him with that message. Brother, welcome. Why don't you embrace Islam? Come to Islam. You have to leave him with that message. If you don't leave him with that message, your dawah is 50% weak. It's 50% weak. You have to invite him to Islam. You don't know whether he'll be able to cross the road. Leave him with that question in his heart. Inshallah. I'll give a couple of more examples, inshallah. I'll give you two more examples, inshallah, from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did dawah. Okay? Upon occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a group of people who were captured as the prisoners. And this was in the time of Medina. You know, the period of rule in Medina. Amongst the captives was a woman by the name of Shima. And Shima was the sister of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the foster sister. They were breastfed by the same woman. She was the daughter of Halima. And Shima was a mushrika woman. She had not embraced Islam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam met Shima, they spoke about everything except Islam. They spoke about their childhood. They spoke about how they used to play. Shima showed the place where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had bitten her when they were small, as kids. Everything like brothers and sisters would talk. Everything which they would do. Except the message of Islam. This is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I'm trying to show you over here. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about everything. Then the woman, lady says, oh Muhammad, I'm scared of you. She says, why are you scared of me? She says, you are the king of Medina. He says, I'm not the king of Medina. I am the son of a poor woman, just like you are a daughter of a poor woman, because your mother was the same woman who breastfed me. Look at the language with which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking to his foster sister, who's a mushrika. The mahabba that he is showing. This is for those brothers who are reverts, and you may have family members who have not embraced Islam. Shima goes back to her town, and the moment she reaches, she gathers all the women of her village and she says, oh women of my village, none of you have a brother like I have, for my brother is Muhammad, and I testify there is no God worthy of worship besides Allah, and my brother is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which did dawah. So apart from the golden question, your akhlaq also plays a very crucial role in how you do dawah. Your akhlaq plays a very important role, and it starts with how you deal with your family members. Brothers and sisters knew nothing about Islam. All their life they were whining and dining. Suddenly they come to know about certain good books of Islam. They become very religious, and immediately they start looking down upon their parents and their relatives. Don't do that. Invite them to Islam. If you think you've got the correct message, go and invite them and learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Towards the end, I just want to leave you with one message. And the most important message is that we must all unite now. It's high time that we unite. We have gathered here with the objective of uniting people to dawah ilallah. Dawah, calling the people to the way of Allah. If we can't unite on the message of calling people to the way of Allah, then can we unite on anything else? We can't unite on anything else. The whole objective was to wake up the ummah. And we gathered you together. If for such a call to get people together to the call of Allah, we are going to disunite, then there is a problem. Alhamdulillah, our call is to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leaving you with the last message when you do dawah, remember the basic thing. We don't call anybody to the way of any jamaat, any sect, any madhab, any faction. That's not our call. Our call is the same call with which all the sahaba ikram, the tabi'in and the taba tabi'in called the people, which is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so with that, I would end my short speech. Barakallahu feek to the Street Dawah team for inviting me. May Allah ta'ala reward you for good that you've done. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.